The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And thank you once again to our Friday panel, Councillor Martin McDermott, Maria Rush and Pat McCart. We really do appreciate their input, as we do your input, wherever you're listening to us today. Here are some of your comments. We should not be paying it license anymore. And by the way, my license should only be going to what we are paying for, which is the TV, not anything else. The 20 million is shared out for approved broadcast. They are still in control of what's produced, and it must be biased, agenda or no funding, not with my money. Well, that's simply not true. I hope people trust me well enough to know that I would certainly call that out if that was the case, even if it meant losing my job here. There's no editorial control at all or no approval or anything like that there. It's little bits and pieces of programme, not that big in amount either. RTE is a joke. Why should we pay for something we don't want? Another, Leo Varadkar's version of public service broadcasting, protecting democracy is interesting. All public service broadcasting is biased to the left, says a listener there. Most people want a new government, because they can't see a better future for their families. With most young people priced out of the housing market, people are depressed, fed up. It's not living in this country, it's surviving. Take electricity cost as one example. We are being charged double and the wholesale price is lower than it was before the war, and our government not only sit on their hands, Electricity Ireland is state-owned and could drop their prices overnight back to pre-war. They should not be overcharging us. Why? Because we are the shareholders. There's a bit of autonomy with a company within the ESB, but I take your point. I mean, the government will argue that when they took over, there was mass unemployment, that they took the country through various crises, Brexit and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure they would argue that they've had a steady hand on the tiller, or a hand on the steady tiller, or whatever that phrase is. But obviously that listener is of a different view there. Greg, I don't see any point in paying for a TV licence, especially when the breaking news is about a hole in the sand and Dave saying he hit a rock that came down from the sky. Think we can live without it. What do you want about, Dave? A rock? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, Colette, this is the crater that stopped Dave Kennedy in his tracks yesterday when, as you say, he was walking his beach here along Portmarnock Beach in Dublin. We're joined by Dave now.
Dave's holding a rock, everybody.
What was your reaction when you came across this?
Complete shock, to be honest. I was walking along just with the dog and came across the impact site. Fortunately enough, I love space and exploration and astrophysics, so I was a bit surprised when I saw it, but I knew immediately that it was an impact site. And then lo and behold, right in the middle of it was the rock.
Tell us about this rock. What about it made you think that this has to be a meteor strike?
So I noticed by the way it came in and where it was landed, it had created the big mound around. So that was everything from the inside that was blown out. But it's just the actual weight of it and its density. You're definitely going to have to get a check to see what it's made of.
Well, I can. It's made of a rock, Dave. And I love his enthusiasm, by the way. But as it turns out, that hole was dug by a couple of fellas at the... that hole was dug by a couple of fellas the day before. It's not unfortunately a meteor strike, but anyway, hey, he can get that rock analyzed and maybe it will turn out to be something. But as it turned out, and people might have seen the video then that transpired on TikTok and other platforms where actually turned out that it was just a couple of fellas digging a hole. I'll see if I can get the video up on that for people that are watching at home. Well, let me see. I think this is where we can see, and I'll try and describe it for the majority of you listening in Radioland. But anyway, we saw an image of a hole and a rock on an impact site. But this is, and as I say, I'll try and explain it. It is just a couple of fellas on the beach with a couple of shovels digging a hole. But there you go. Anyway, so that problem, that mystery was solved and resolved, and it only took a day. Right, okay. RTE needs to be changed from the bottom up. They blew it. A mindset of innovation and restructuring is what's required at RTE. Sadly, this will not happen, as its very core is a culture of elitism that is closed off to general opinion. This seems common in many institutions here in Ireland. It would be interesting to examine other national broadcasters to see if they are run differently. I would have had occasion to be around the national media, with exceptions, by the way, and when they've come up here to cover stories. And I just have very, very little in common with them, by the way. Eileen Magner does great work, I think, for the Northwest, and probably submits tons of stories, and there's editorial decisions as to whether or not they're run or not. But Eileen, in fairness to her, has produced quite a few positive stories as well as it relates to Donegal. But you do then see other media that come up from Dublin to here, and I would have very, very little in common with them, to be honest with you. For the few, the same few who gained from RTE are the same few slating the organisation at committee as Montrose land is up for grabs. They may have joined in, but ultimately the many shall pay. A caller says there is an RTE censorship in relation to a referendum on mass immigration. Opinion polls suggest the massive majority of the population are against further immigration. And I think that was commissioned by... was it Virgin Media? No sugarcoating of the Mike redress scheme will hide the shameful way our government is treating us, believes the listener. All right, well, all things comet to an end. Those are just some of the headlines. About the little distraction, actually. I enjoy these types of stories. I think they're a little distraction from the general grind of life. We're going to talk about that and other issues with David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland's magazine. Good morning to you. David's joining me on Zoom and I don't even have him in. All right, Dave's going to be joining us very shortly. Stay right where you are. 086 60 25000, the WhatsApp and text number, by the way, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 07491 25000. I want to say hello to Josephine, Rosemary, Annie, Audrey, Cormac, Dolores, Charlie, John, and others who are watching us on our live stream. We are on Highland Radio Ireland on YouTube. You can watch us on your smart TV, your Fire Stick, your Android box, whatever way you can engage with us. It's no problem whatsoever. And also, if you prefer, you can watch us on Facebook, Highland Hub or Highland Radio News and Sports. So keep your calls and comments coming in. Emails, comments at highlandradio.com. And a little later on in this hour, we have the exciting launch of a trip to a very special musical that you can go along to with us. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up before 11. And then after 11, delighted to welcome Michael and Fionnuala back for That Is Entertainment. Okay. David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine. David, good morning to you. And I was saying just as I was welcoming you onto the programme, i.e. letting you in, I like this meteor story. I don't think there's any embarrassment or shame in it. It was a nice little distraction and it got all sorted and tidied up really quite quickly. But I'm no astronomer. It seemed like a perfectly round hole from an object that would have fell straight down from the sky. And I mean, there's a million and one reasons, I suppose, why it wasn't a meteor hole.
Yes, we knew actually from the crater that it probably wasn't a meteorite because they don't leave holes that big. Rocks from space come in at extremely high speeds, maybe 100,000 miles an hour, but they lose all that speed unless they're huge dinosaur killers, that kind of thing. And they fall the last 10 kilometers or so as cold, unglowing rocks for several minutes and hit the ground with a thud. They're not going to leave a crater 2 meters in diameter. So we were pretty sure it wasn't a meteorite to begin with. And now Dr. Ian Sanders at Trinity College has analyzed the actual rock. It's a piece of limestone. So it definitely wasn't a meteorite, but a fun story, like you said.
That's it. And you wouldn't want it hitting you on the head, but the ground is pretty resilient. And by the time, as you say, it came through the atmosphere and slowed down, its momentum wouldn't create anything close to that, would it?
Well, it's still, yeah, traveling over 100 miles an hour, terminal velocity. So you don't want a rock that size hitting you at that kind of speed. And there have been some close calls. We often report on them in Astronomy Island magazine. I remember one story of a couple in Belgium, I think it was, Belgium or Holland, and they had gone out early on a Saturday morning to go shopping. Normally they sleep on. And that morning, a rock from space did crash through their roof and buried itself in their bed. So they had a lucky escape. But it was one found in 1999 in Carlo, and a collector bought it and was later selling bits of it for 50 times the price of gold.
Yeah, right. Now, NASA, too, concluded their probe into hundreds of UFO sightings. And for UFO fans and want to believe, they haven't dashed those beliefs as such. But following their thorough examination of a lot of sightings, they found that there's no evidence aliens were behind unexplained phenomena. But as I say, they're still not ruling out the possibility. I suppose that's the only conclusion they could have come up with, or else this would have been a world-altering presser.
Yeah, there are so many conflicting stories flying around. These are credible stories. So you've got NASA looking into unidentified aerial phenomena. You've got other people, though, in the Department of Defense in the U.S. who said their colleagues have told, these are high-ranking officials, their colleagues have told them that the government, the U.S. government, does have alien bodies, does have alien technology, and they've testified to Congress about this and said they, because of the Official Secrets Act, they can't really say in public what's going on, but they will tell Congress people who can then go and use their powers to investigate it.
And I'm a little bit boring. I'm not going to lie, David. I watched quite a bit of that Congress hearing live. And as you outline it really, really well, there are people in position who have first or second-hand knowledge that such things do exist. But how could it all be kept under wraps? We are in a world now whereby, say, for instance, the airplane that exploded over Russia, in a rural part of Russia, and lo and behold, someone happened to get quite decent mobile footage of it as it fell from the sky, and it was out there instantaneously. Yet still to this day, really, you know, with the amount of coverage we have nothing conclusive. And if there were activities ongoing, we are bound to get something that's more than a high-speed orb on a, you know, on an infrared camera on an aeroplane. I am not dismissing it, and I'm not a skeptic. I just feel there would be something much more tangible. We have the word of people that say there is, but I just can't imagine we haven't captured something that's conclusive at this point to make me really believe.
And that's exactly the way I feel as well. I mean, we get these small dots, the tic-tac, as they're called, and you know, they're incredibly small, amorphous things, rather than pure alien spacecraft. Big things like we see in Star Wars, Star Trek. You know, we never get anything that evidence. They don't land on the White House lawn and say, take me to your leader. So that does tend to suggest to me that they're interesting aerial phenomena that perhaps we don't understand. Could be very important to the airline industry. If there are things flying around and our aircraft are zooming around 500 miles an hour, we don't want to run into them. So it's an important incident. But whether you need to conjure up alien intelligent life as the explanation for these things, I don't think so. And it makes you wonder how this high-ranking official, David Grusch, could have been so swayed to go and tell Congress. Maybe he's being used by the military to just spread misinformation. Who knows? But I think in the next year, we'll find out what his story really was. And he is the highest ranking official that's come clean, if you like. It'd be great if it's true, but I'm going to remain a little bit skeptical.
But people tend to take, and I can understand why, but they seem to take the word of pilots or astronauts as gospel, as if within that cohort of people, there aren't believers or maybe even gullible or impressionable people. Just because you've become qualified to fly a plane at a very fast pace does not mean that your testimony is unquestionable either. Do you know what I mean? There, you know, the general population of airline pilots and astronauts are probably a reflection of the general population of the world.
Yeah, we're all fallible to a certain extent. And when David Grusch was testifying to Congress in July, there were two pilots on either side giving their testimony as well. And the kind of things they saw could have been things like, I'm not saying this is what it is, but weather balloons or some kind of balloon phenomena that they zoomed past rather than zooming between them. And again, there's reports that they picked up things on radar. Well, that would fit well with that. Again, it's not craft that fly up beside them. The aliens have windows and they wave to them, you know, and they video that and we have actual evidence. They don't even report that that's what they're seeing. So you know, it could be that even if they are trained observers, that they're still seeing interesting aerial phenomena, which are completely natural or maybe man-made, but not aliens.
Yeah, and again, it's just down to, and people can send in videos and we'll see videos and I look at them and I'm really interested in all this side of things, but it's just the possibles, and it's really hard to explain. But where is the where is the conclusive evidence? And I always wonder, someone like Donald Trump, for an example, who would have been privy, presumably, to a lot of the information the former military official claiming to have known about, that whistle would have been blown at this point. Could he keep his mouth shut if aliens had walked among us?
Would they tell him is another question as well. But the Clintons actually are quite interesting in this regard. They're quite interested in the phenomena. I don't know if you remember when Bill Clinton spoke in Belfast, that he said that a young kid in Northern Ireland had written to him asking him, were there aliens in Area 51? And he said, no, there are not. He wants to know himself. And Hillary, when she was beaten by Trump, said that she was going to release all documents about what they had discovered so far. Fortunately, she never got in. That never happened. But who knows what's going to happen in the future. I personally think any documents there are, that of course the US military are investigating this. If there's something in their skies, whether it's natural or alien, it's important one way or the other. They have to investigate it. If there weren't these, sometimes they're called secret programs, looking out for what these things flying over the USA, then the military would be incompetent. So when people say, oh, you know, they've revealed that they had a secret program to investigate these things, well, that's what we would expect they had.
Right, okay. Come here till I ask you, what is happening in space that is tangible and real? Is it a quiet time? Anything exciting coming up?
Well, starting tonight, speaking of spacecraft, we will see one. We have the International Space Station blazing across Irish skies every night for about 2 weeks starting tonight. If you want predictions for that, go to our website, astronomy.ae, and follow our social media, Facebook, Twitter. Every afternoon, we post what time to look, if they're going to pass near anything interesting, or is a new craft coming or going. So you'll see a bit of a space chase. There are apps to all this, but I think the astronomy on social media is the best way of watching them over Ireland. And then in next month, we've got the eclipse of the moon coming. In December, there's a huge shooting star shower coming. The moon's going to pass near all the planets. There are loads of things happening. People get Astronomy House magazine or the weekly emails that members get. They'll know all about it.
So a shooting star is stuff hitting our atmosphere. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's what this meteorite would have made. The typical shooting star meteor, it's about the size of a grain of sand. So something big that you could hold in your hand, a few kilograms, would light up the entire landscape of Ireland like daytime for several seconds.
And what do they do? We've a lot of satellites up there now. Are they below? Are they below the impact zone, or do they have to be moved to avoid showers as they approach? What is the relationship between these particles, which I presume they're moving at such a speed that would cut straight through you in space? Perhaps, I don't know. But how do the powers make protect their satellite infrastructure from these predictable events?
Well, they are exposed and satellites have been damaged, especially when we get meteor showers like the big one coming in December, and we had one in August. There was a storm predicted from one of these meteor showers at one stage where it might be 10 times more powerful, and the astronauts actually hid out for the duration of the storm just in case. They do see holes in the International Space Station punctured by micrometeoroids, as they call them. And when they hit the atmosphere, a sand grain-sized object, it'll be about 100 miles, 100 kilometers or so above the ground, and we'll get down to tens of miles or kilometers before it fizzles out. So our atmosphere protects us from all but the big objects. So nothing to worry about for us, but the satellite operators do worry a bit. Space is mostly empty, but these things are traveling at ridiculously high speed, several times the speeds that the satellites are traveling at. So it is a bit of a concern.
I presume you get quite a few reports, David, about the Starlink. We get them from time to time here, but you're right across the country and beyond, and they are quite a pretty thing to see. And people do believe, I suppose, on first look, that they are of alien in nature. Some might say they've come from it. I don't think Elon Musk fully ruled out the fact that he is an alien or not. But they are operating much lower than our sort of other types of satellites. Are they? Are they also susceptible to the likes of these showers?
The problem with them is how many there are. I think he's up to 5,000 now. He's going to put up these 10,000, has applied for 30,000, and they're becoming vermin. They are quite pretty, I have to confess, soon after they're launched. Because most satellites go up, you get one bright object crossing your sky, that's it. But as soon as it gets up within an hour, it releases 20 to 60 satellites. and you see them as a train of tiny dots, actually so close together you can't see the individual ones with naked eye. It looks like a straight line crossing the sky. I've never seen anything like it. So maybe we shouldn't, but we do actually predict that along with the space station. And we had a prediction this week, and several people did see it. And they're slowly spreading out now. You will see them tonight. There'll be a prediction posted later on this afternoon and for the next few days. After about a week, they go to higher orbits, get fainter, and disperse and go into that constellation.
So you only see his SpaceX satellites shortly after launch then?
Yeah.
Oh, right,
yeah,
okay.
Sometimes you can actually say it takes 20 minutes to get from the USA across the Atlantic Ocean to Ireland. We have seen them come across that soon. Or they can go several orbits around and then we see them. And often actually they'll launch and we don't see them at all. But with the ones that we do see, we can usually predict them in advance, and you'll find that on our social media. So do check out astronomy.ie. And they're all free, those predictions.
If Elon Musk emailed you, and this is the last question, emailed you and he says, Dave, I appreciate what you've done. I don't mind if I call you Dave, do you? I appreciate what you've done. I want to offer you a seat on our first trip to Mars. No, it's a big commitment, no guarantees. Would David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland's magazine, take that seat?
Yes, I have to confess. I mean, especially when you get a bit older, you've had a good life behind you, then it's not such a risk. And what a way to go if you even blew up on the launch pad or on the way to Mars. You know, it's the end of a great career. I'm not sure it's for younger people. And this was actually the scenario that was posed to people with the Mars One experiment, which failed in the end. 250,000 people applied to go one way to Mars, and just go show how many people will put their lives on
and
the
you
line.
Would take a one way you would take a one way ticket to Mars.
Yes, right. As long as you knew that at the end, you know, it wasn't the death wish.
No, of course not. That there was
a about your life there, that all the infrastructure for a habitat, you'd go down in history as the first settlers on Mars. Who wouldn't want to be, you know, remembered for the rest of time? You'd be as famous as Neil Armstrong.
And me, perhaps even more so. Thanks, David. Appreciate it. David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland's magazine. Check out astronomy.ie or their socials if you have an interest in space or even want to encourage an interest in space amongst your young people. Would you take a one-way ticket to Mars? 086 60 25,000, with a reasonable chance of landing there and being one of the first settlers. Genuinely, 086 60 25,000. Would you? I wouldn't, just to be straight out. Donna Marie, would you take a one-way ticket to Mars, honestly? You would? Genuine? No, you wouldn't. Niamh, would you? Niamh Canis, would you take a one-way trip? You would? Wow, okay. Now, on your own... You'd have to cook for yourself and everything. Right, okay. So that's a 2-1. I don't think any of them would personally. I think David would, though. 086 60 25,000 WhatsApps and texts. Would you take a one-way ticket to Mars? One meteor hit Loch Salt Mountains in 1823 and rolled into the loch below. A fortune awaits the person who can sift it out from other rocks and lakes. Happy hunting. But it is, as we actually by coincidence mentioned, by some accounts, the deepest lake in the country. Maybe that's a little bit of a myth, who's to say? But it's a lovely story, isn't it? That a meteor hit the mountain, it rolled down into the lake in 1823, 200 years ago. Who is going to undertake the search for the meteor and make a fortune? I think maybe, is someone take a hand out of me? I don't know. I like the idea of it, though. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Now, obviously, an awful lot of talk in the press and on our lips as well of awful tragedies we've witnessed across the world in Libya and, of course, in Morocco. Syed Ben Salem joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you. Thank you very much for joining us, Syed.
Thank you very much for having me. Greg.
Many people will know you as owner of Future Style Barbers in Letterkenny, originally from Morocco, but you've been here for 20-odd years now, haven't you, Syed?
That's right, yeah.
I often wonder, I know it's incredibly difficult for your fellow countrymen in and women, of course, in Morocco, but it must be incredibly difficult for you to, although you're settled here for quite some time, to witness what's going on from a distance. It must feel quite horrible and helpless.
It is terrible what happened there last Friday. It's been a few sleepless nights watching people there struggle, and it's terrible. Some Libya as well, what happened there as well, you know, after that. Yeah, so I was just thinking what to do to help, and I set up a GoFundMe page to raise some funds, and I'm planning to go there hopefully in a week's time.
So anyone who donates to the GoFundMe, you're going to use that money. You're going to travel to Morocco and then use that money to buy supplies, the basics that are needed at this time to help.
Yeah. That money will. I'll try to meet the families there that need. Obviously, you wouldn't be able to help everybody, but you'll help a few families, like buy their clothes or whatever they need there. I'll take it over for them. Another friend probably will go with me. The two or three of us, hopefully, to go there and try to do to help some families.
And there are so many difficult stories. Obviously, the incredible loss of life, thousands of people who have died, and then those that are left with no homes. And the more rural you are, like in most countries, the less support that you get. It's going to be a long time. It's going to be a long time dealing with this.
Yeah. People are left homeless there. Then people are kind of poor people anyway, like, you know, they don't really have much. And then now, after the earthquake, they're kind of left with nothing. And a lot of kids left with no parents, with no families. They're still in shock. They don't know what's going on. obviously, the authorities and a lot of help from all over the world is there at the moment to help, you know. So, I'd like to do my part as well and trying to help.
Mm.
And I'd like to thank everybody that donated so far to this GoFundMe page. Also, there's some people came to my shop and brought cash in. I'd like to thank everybody that donated so far.
Yeah, people and, are very generous.
I'm very generous here. People are very helpful. And I'm holding a fundraising day on Sunday. This Sunday, 17th, on one of my barber shops here in Port Road, Letterkenny, from 1 to 6, we're going to provide people our services. Tea and coffee will be there, and I'd like to welcome everybody to come in, and all the services will be free. And I'll just ask people then to donate to this funds for the Morocco earthquake appeal.
Have you managed to make contact with friends and family, and what is their situation?
Yeah, my family are from Agadir. It's far from there a little bit. They were terrified as well. They have to sleep in the streets for a few nights, and they're all back into the houses. But it's still trauma there, and people are feared and. Still aftershocks even to yesterday there at 7 o'clock yesterday morning. There's still little movements. So people are still feared, you know.
Yeah, and it's a huge operation, and even recovering the bodies of those that perished, Syed, to bring some sort of comfort to the families of the bereaved. I mean, even that task in and of itself is a very difficult, very tough task.
It's a very tough task because the roads are blocked, going up to Atlas Mountains there. The roads are dangerous anyway, but now they're blocked completely. So it's very hard for any aid to get there, you know. Mm. It's a difficult times. Hopefully.
I mean, obviously, given the nature of the work that you do, you know, hairdressers, barbers generally don't take much time off. Have you managed over the last 20 years to get back to Morocco very often?
Yeah, I go to Morocco quite often, at least twice a year in a way. Actually, my mother's here on holiday, so she's going back now on 26th of September. So I'm going to take opportunity then to go taking her back, and then I will take the funds and go up the Atlas Mountains and try to help the family their needs.
Yeah, indeed. Because as you say, urban areas, there will be a great focus, but there are those in those rural areas that you mentioned that will need long-term support. So just remind us, Syed, if people, as you mentioned, people already calling into Future Style Barbers, dropping in cash, the GoFundMe link, where can people find that if they want to throw a few bob your way?
Yeah, I have it on my Facebook page here, Future Style Barbers page. I advertise it there, all my social media there. And I have it also shared in my WhatsApp, and that's where they can find it in future, all social media. Just.
Okay. Well, listen, safe journey back home. It's going to be a tough, tough journey for you and your mother as well, because you're going back to a country that's going to be unrecognizable to the one that you left the last time you were there. Syed,
thank you very much for your time.
I hope you get all the support you deserve. Syed Ben Salem there, owner of Future Style Barbers in Letterkenny. You can go on to the company's Facebook page there if you wish to support that initiative. Please, can you send love and best wishes to my son Hugh McDade from Oxford, who's getting married in St. Simon's Church in Putney today to Charlotte Giles or Gillies? Charlotte Gillies? Could be Giles. I hate when I get names wrong because it's so important. My apologies. Charlotte and Hugh are getting married in St. Simon's Church. Lots of love from your family. All the Hickey family from Letterkenny and around Ireland have travelled to London for the great day today, but very sadly I can't be there as I'm in hospital in Oxford, but send them love and best wishes for a great day. Hugh is a big fan of Highland Radio and would love to have a shout out this morning. Thank you very much from Lillian Hickey. I've made a real hames of that. I thought that was three different messages, but it's not. Shall I read it one more time from the top? Please, can you send love and best wishes to my son Hugh McDade from Oxford, who's getting married in St. Simon's Church in Putney today, to Charlotte. All the Hickey family from Letterkenny and around Ireland have travelled to London for the great day today, but very sadly I can't be there as I'm in hospital, but sending them a love and best wishes for a great day. Hugh is a fan of Highland. Hiya, Hugh. Hopefully you're still listening and would love to have a shout out. Lillian, hope you get better soon. I really do. I'm sure you'll be greatly missed at that. Okay, let's take a break. All right, before we get shut down for a breach of rights, that is I Shall Follow Him, which is from what?
Sister Act.
Sister Act. Do you know, I would love to go to Sister Act, particularly the eagerly anticipated brand new production of the Broadway smash hit musical Sister Act. But, like, it's in Dublin, right?
Yeah.
And where do we get tickets? I tried to get tickets for Coldplay. I couldn't get them. I tried to get tickets for lots of things. And then I'll drive down, but where will I park the car? You know what I mean? Where will I park the car? And then the price of hotels down there. I mean, so I would love to go and see Sister Act, a divine musical comedy, Katie. But for me, it's just too much hassle. Is there anything you can do about this situation?
Well, Highland Radio have done it again.
Oh, are you saying that you're sitting here because Highland Radio are doing it again?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So what's coming up then?
So we are taking a trip down the road to the Borgosh Theatre on Friday, the 23rd of February. And as per our usual trips, we will include your transfers, your hotel, including breakfast, overnight stay, and your ticket to the show. So we'll include it all for you.
Right, so that's February 23rd, 2024. Did someone say Christmas present? I hear the tiny pitter-patter of a Christmas present.
Well, in fairness, it's certainly one that could be considered. I mean, that, like,
wow.
That.
So you're effectively saying, yeah, it's brilliant, but don't get it for me?
No, definitely not. I love Sister Act. This is one that I actually used to sit and watch over and over again as a kid.
It's a classic.
Did you ever watch something? Maybe you didn't because you're, like, not a girl, right? Because us girls, we used to watch things like this and pretend, or, like, imagine that we were, like, the person that burst out into the solo in the middle of the song.
We did that with boxing and football and man stuff. That's alpha-like.
Yeah, well. I used to imagine I was the stereotyping away here like Goodo. But I used to imagine I was the little quiet one that all of a sudden could like sing these massive
that
show
you found
tunes.
Found your voice.
Yeah, found my voice and then sang in front of thousands.
Right, okay. that didn't happen, as it turned out, thankfully.
No.
The eagerly anticipated, it's a production, new production of the Broadway smash hit musical Sister Act. It's in the Bordgash Energy Theatre Dublin, which is a beautiful venue. And we are organising this trip for February the 23rd of next year, 2024. As you heard from Katie, the trip includes your luxury transfers. So will there be a pickup here? Bed and breakfast at the four-star City North Hotel Dublin. You get your ticket to the show. And so you go up on the day of the show and then come back?
The following day. So we will, like anyone who goes on our trips to Dublin knows, we will be taking the bus into the city centre, where you will have time to shop or do lunch or do whatever trips or tours or whatever that Dublin City has to offer. And we'll be leaving at 3:30 in the afternoon. So we'll have you back
on the way
here.
Back.
Yes, the following day after the show.
So in other words, you can go into the city and pick up a few bits.
Exactly. On a lovely Saturday morning in the city. And then we will take you home at about 3:30 in the afternoon, back here for about 7:00. And that's you. So.
Eve, what?
That's me.
Is that, you're the quiet girl? Is that
I'm
the quiet girl?
I'm the quiet
girl?
One. Who, right, yeah, okay, who busts out all that stuff there.
All right, okay. So if you want more information, 07491 25000, or visit highlandradio.com. I presume that it's not open-ended. So if people are interested in this, you want to get in on it. Did you mention a price?
Yeah, actually, this is a really, really reasonably priced one at $219 per person sharing. So like that, obviously, we do get the highest quality tickets as well for all of our shows.
Just to be clear,
shows.
You get to stay in a Dublin City hotel.
Yeah.
Four star with your brekkie, right? You get your trip down there, so you're on the bus down there, and you get a really good ticket to the show for $219. Again, like all of these things, they're considered purchased, but that's, I don't mean it funny, but you could almost actually just go down for the lift in the hotel room and sod off to Copperface Jack's.
Look, Coppers isn't open till about 12, so you have plenty of time to go to the show first.
I still have my gold card.
Do you? Oh my God, I wonder if they still accept them.
Do you have yours?
No, I never got one. From Dublin and everything, I never got a gold card.
Mary Janey, what? You'll have to content yourself with coddle and a comfort blanket. Right, okay, so February 23rd. I think, and I'm again, for fellas, maybe. This would be a brilliant Christmas gift. And I know we don't want to talk about Christmas. We're not celebrating it. We do have to plan for it. And some of us are really quite poor at it. So it's Sister Act, the musical. It's a new production of it. It's a Broadway smash, by the way. It's on stage at the Bordgash Energy Theatre, Dublin. For €219, you get luxury transfer, bed and breakfast at the four-star City North Hotel. A really good ticket to the show. Get in touch with us right now, 07491 25000, and have fun. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. Are you going down to that one? Do you know yet?
I don't know yet, but just one other thing worth mentioning, obviously, is to book it. It's just €100 per person sharing, non-refundable deposit.
That's your initial
Exactly.
expense.
So that's what kind of makes it a good Christmas present, with things the way they are at the moment, cost of living and all that sort of thing. It's like difficult to, make big expenses, expenditures. That's the one. So you can break it down. You can pay us in little by little, or you can pay the €100 deposit and pay the rest sort of around the probably first week in February. You'll be looking for the balance. So plenty of time.
Yeah, exactly. And then there are those that can afford it comfortably, and don't be afraid to spend if you have it, because the economy needs that too. All right, brilliant stuff. 07491 25000, or visit the website for more details. The note for your diary is Friday the 23rd of February. You get the trip, you get the hotel, you get the show, and you get the morning then to do with what you wish, and travel back the following afternoon about 3:30. Katie just cannot wait to speak to you. You are probably going to go out and go on the phones pretty much now.
Probably. Fingers crossed.
Will you do me a favour? Mm-hmm. Have a good day.
So do you, Greg. Right, and a fabulous weekend.
Do you know what's awesome?
What's that?
You are.
Oh, thanks.